Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica,
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents,
or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast, Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
This is
Greater Boston.
Well, goodness, Mr. Fredericks, have you got the right idea today?
Morning, Bernie. Yes, it's very beautiful out, isn't it?
Well, Lord knows if I wasn't up working, I'd be at home in my own garden as well. What's on the docket?
Well, I've got cucumbers, tomatoes, eggplant, and kale all going so far. Right now I'm making some room for some winter squash.
Sounds like you've got the makings of a mighty fine salad there, don't you?
That's the plan. Say, if you come back in a few weeks, I might even have a bit of fresh veg for you.
Oh, you're too kind, my friend.
It's no trouble at all. What about you? What you got for me? Something good, I hope.
It seems like I just might. Are you a friend of this Michael Tate's? Seems like he's a mighty popular guy. You're probably the 12th person I delivered one of these letters to this week.
Yes, Michael was a friend of mine.
It's wild what happened to him, isn't it?
It certainly is, but not necessarily surprising. At least, not if you've worked there.
I believe it. Well, don't let me keep you from your garden, Tyrell. Plenty more mail that's got to get delivered.
Enjoy your day, Bernie.
Dear Tyrell, I'm writing you from the publisher's secret office at the top of the secret elevator behind the kombucha machine at Third Sight. If you're receiving this, it's likely too late for me, as I've been locked in here for several weeks without food. But if, by some miraculous twist of fate, you happen to know the passcode, I'm begging you to come rescue me. It wouldn't be the first time you used your kindness, generosity, and intuition to protect me from Oliver West's malicious intent. And I'm fully aware of that. And regardless of the outcome of this letter, recognize that I am forever in your debt. You know, I will always admire you for the way you advocated for yourself and me by leaving the way you did. Even if I must admit, I was never entirely sure what you thought I'd be able to accomplish with that many squeezy stress balls. Still, it was an ultimate act of kindness, and demonstrated to me that you saw through dipshit and the publisher's actions. You understood that what was happening here, to me, was cruel, even when I wasn't able to see that myself. It was brave, admirable, and beautiful. And I truly thank you for it. But that isn't the only reason I'm writing you today, because I must make a confession to you. For I have committed a cruelty upon you that, until now, I've never admitted to another soul. Tyrell, I am ashamed to say that I am the Third Sight Lunch Thief. It started innocently enough at first, before Gemma left. She told me how nobody ever cleared their food out. And here I was, hungry, but newly employed with a negative bank balance. So, that day, it was out of an act of self-preservation, I sought out whatever looked properly abandoned and landed on a bit of your old, forgotten veggie lo mein with extra mushrooms. At the time, it did the job, and you seemed none the wiser. So, I didn't think anyone would be hurt by my actions. But eventually, I changed. No longer was I merely the kind of lunch thief that raids the fridge and picks at whatever looks good that day. No, my actions were far more nefarious than that. I spent my next few months seeking out whichever Tupperware or takeout containers had your name written on it. And not only because you consistently had the very best food of the bunch, though, let me be very clear, you absolutely did. It was because I was rebelling against an imagined slight I at the time believed you were making against me. The oven-roasted ratatouille with cherry tomatoes that burst in my mouth, and a balsamic reduction that I still can't get out of my head. Your award-winning three-bean chili sent me and every single person who works with us reaching for a bag of stale tortilla chips. I was all you. You see, my friend, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and from the very beginning of my time at Third Sight, I was aghast at how readily available the booze was, not only from the top-shelf company bar cart or freshly tapped kegs, but from the relentless Margarita Mondays you threw week after week. Now, I know I could have come to you about this. You were the head of HR, for goodness sake. But my sobriety was new, and this was the first steady job I had in ages. So, at the time, I blamed you. Even though I understood intrinsically what you were doing was out of kindness of your heart and desire for camaraderie between colleagues, I couldn't yet take responsibility for my own weakness. At this point, I have no idea how I can return the very many favors you've done for me. But if I somehow, through some dumb stroke of luck, make it out of here, give me a call. Lunch is on me. With love, Michael Tate.
Wow, did you beautiful baby sprouts hear all that? It sort of explains a lot. I always wondered why Michael never joined us at company happy hours. I figured he was just shy, sensitive, but this makes a lot more sense. And while I'd wish he'd felt comfortable enough to confide in me, human resources departments, no matter how honorably run, do have a pesky history of protecting the employer more than the employee. And an admission of that kind may have triggered the kind of recourse that would have seen Michael unemployed all over again. I wish this letter had gotten to me sooner. Not that I had the code he needed. No, I didn't even know those apartments were there. But I would have done anything I could to help my friend out of that situation, because I know he would have done the same for me. Still, I'm glad he was able to get himself out. Now I'll be able to take him up on that lunch. I wonder if he's still got the same number. I guess there's only one way to find out.
Hello?
Michael! It's Tyrell, and you have no idea how good it is to hear your voice.
Greater Boston is created by Alexander Danner and Jeff Van Driesen with help from T.H. Ponders, Bob Ramunda, and Jordan Stillman. Recording and technical assistance from Mark Harmon. This episode was written by Bob Ramunda and sound designed by Alexander Danner. Dialogue editing by Bob Ramunda. This episode featured Josh Rubino as Bernie, Arun Sanuti as Tyrell Fredericks, and James Oliva as Michael Tate. Charlie on the MTA recorded by Emily Peterson and Dirk Titi. Child Grove and Shove That Pig's Foot a Little Farther in the Fire, recorded by Adrienne Howard, Emily Peterson, and Dirk Titi. For news and updates, you can sign up for our newsletter, link in the show notes. You can support Greater Boston on Patreon at patreon.com/greaterboston. Greater Boston is a Third Sight Media production.
Don't you? Ooh, that was so sinister. Let me try that again.
Hello? No, I'm sorry. That hello is at the end of this thing, don't worry. I thought of that the second I said it. I was like, he's going to think I'm talking to him.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
What kind of woman becomes a pirate?
From the makers of Mockery Manor.
Violent, insane, not at all comely, and they smell like a couple of dead badgers preserved in cheap rum.
Comes an adventure on the high seas.
Will you pay extra if I push a little harder?
No, please. I'm just a writer. I'm writing a book and I would like you to be in it.
Inspired by the lives and loves of the pirates Anne Bonny and Mary Read.
You think you know me, Anne? Do you think I never got my hands dirty?
Your mind's been so twisted, you think pirates deserve mercy?
Did either of you ever meet Blackbeard?
Everyone loves a rebel.
They love to see him swing, too.
Put your weapons away, both of you.
Stop it!
Read!
Read!
Oh, Anne and Mary!
Fight like men! Or you'll hang like dogs!
Starring Christina Bianco, Suze Kempner, Hamilton's Carl Queensborough, and more.
Do they have tails? Somebody told me they have tails.
Oh, I haven't seen a tail, your ladyship.
The Ballad of Anne and Mary. Available now wherever you get podcasts.